Welcome to From Shadows to Light, a whole human approach to mental health, hosted by Olivia Catchman. This podcast series is centered around a book by the same name. 11 courageous individuals challenge the stigma around mental health and share their wisdom of a multidisciplinary, whole human approach to mental wellness that considers the body, mind, emotions, and spirit of the individual. And now, here's your host, Olivia Catchman, founder of the Phoenix Alchemy and Transformational Guide.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of our podcast, From Shadows to Light, a Whole Human Approach to Mental Health. And today I'm welcoming a very dear friend and sister to the show, who is one of the co-authors in the book. I'm welcoming Vireo Karvinen, and I'm sure you're going to all learn so much from this bright spark of a woman. She's been through so many different aspects of mental health, both in her family as well as her lived experience, and she has so much to offer on the topic. So welcome, Vireo.
Thank you.
So I know that really you've come up with this idea, and I really feel like a lot of your clients have come up with this idea that you are a shame buster. And so I really want to start there with asking you the question of what are the different types of shame that you have had to face over the years that have really been the catalyst for you to be able to help people through shame?
Shame has been, I realized, part of my life for decades. I was not aware of it consciously until we lost my brother to suicide 28 years ago. Since that time, I've been, I guess, a seeker of understanding shame and guilt and mental health. Myself and my family were really pioneers at that time because nobody spoke about it. And there's still so much taboo around mental health and suicide. So that was kind of the birth of me starting to find my own voice. And as I was navigating that, I was also unraveling shame around sexuality and shame around sexual abuse that I had experienced as a young girl. My first sexual experience was 10 years old, being raped. And all of that was very much in the unconscious. And I'd like to say it was this huge awakening. It was more of a slow, painful crawl. I didn't know where to look for help. I didn't know where to ask.
And I feel like that is the experience of so many people, is just not knowing where to go and not knowing who to ask. And I know from my own experience with shame, and I'm just going to ask you, how has it been so paralyzing to your mind, body, emotions, and even your soul to experience that level of shame?
It caused me, unconsciously, I didn't realize it till I was older, it caused me to not be here. It wasn't in my body. I disassociated. I, at a very young age, learned how to live in the wallpaper, in the ethers, outside of my body. And as a result of that, I missed out on a lot of my life. I wasn't present. I wasn't able to enjoy the sweetness of my life. And what I've noticed the last 11 years working with women is this is sadly pretty common for us as women. We live in a patriarchy. It's not a judgment about men. It's a system we've been in for thousands of years that disconnects us from our body, disconnects us from our soul, that warm, fuzzy part, disconnects us from our heart and our emotions. And when we do that, we pay a very, very high price. Mentally, you know, we've had in the last couple of weeks here, we've lost another family friend to suicide. And sadly, this has increased with all that's going on the planet right now, with more people in isolation, more people not having their needs met. So for me personally, it caused me to not be present in my body and to miss out on the joy of being a human being and living in this lifetime.
And that really is the medicine you bring people. You have found your way back to joy. You have found your way back to pleasure and enjoying the sweetness of being present in this body and in this life. And it's taken a lot of breakdown to break through to that place. And you share that in your story. So I'm just curious, you know, if you could just share, you know, the benefits or the gifts that you've received from that mental breakdown that you describe in your chapter.
I think one of the biggest things is that I was so completely shattered 4 years ago. And that was like many shatterings of shatterings. It was like the final shattering that woke me up. I was so many things broke down at that moment in my life. A relationship, my mom was dealing with cancer. I was on medical leave, stress leave from a soul-sucking job at the time. My adrenals were stressed. My heart was racing 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. I was not coping. I was crying, not pretty girl tears. I was like sobbing, snot everywhere. I was not coping. In that moment that I had what many might call like awakening, I literally was on my knees on my deck of my cabin by the lake here and just praying and asking for guidance. In that moment, I had a message that came to me to be sovereign. I didn't know what sovereign meant. It was not even a word that I used in my vocabulary. And yet my soul knew that I needed to be sovereign and whole. And my soul seemed to know what that meant. And it was like realizing that up until then, I had given away my power, the responsibility for my happiness, my joy, my orgasm, my pleasure, my finances to other people, especially men in my life. And so in that moment, I decided that I was going to find my way home to Vireo. I was going to find my way home to this sacred union that I had experienced a taste of. I'd experienced this taste in lovemaking. I experienced it in nature. I experienced it in dance, ecstatic dance. So the gift that I got is that I was able to really find my way home to myself and gather the tools that helped me to be sourced from my feminine center. And one of the biggest tools that I received around that time was belief or patterning. And belief or patterning allowed me to navigate the shame and still navigate the shame to this at this time, because as I venture into being more of my bright self and speaking about suicide, mental health, and sex, all taboo subjects, there's still shame that comes up when I go to speak about these subjects. So I'm able to use belief or patterning, an amazing 7-step system, so that I can not only support myself, I can now support other women and their families and partners so that we don't have to live in shame. Because the reality is when we live in shame, David Hawkins, which I refer to in my chapter, he says shame is the absolute lowest vibration on the planet. And when we're in shame, we actually need help. We actually can't navigate out of it without help. It will keep us powerless. So it really helped me to have more compassion for myself, not beat myself up when I was in shame and guilt and in that mental breakdown. So anyone who's listening, if you have any shame or guilt that you're navigating around your own mental health, first of all, when you're in that place, that's all you have access to is what I call the 4 F's, fight, flight, freeze, or F you. So it's not your fault if you're in that place. It's really a time to ask for help if you are stuck in any shame or guilt or mental health struggles.
Now I can see like belief or patterning has been probably your most powerful and supportive tool. Can you describe a little bit more about how that helped you to navigate your breakdown to a breakthrough?
Well, I think the biggest piece, which I'll just deepen a little bit, was that I needed to understand that the way the brain works, when we are in emotions that are draining, like grief, fear, in that mental health breakdown, shame, guilt, even anger, when we're in those emotions that drain us, they keep us in that fight, flight, freeze. And we don't actually have access to our prefrontal cortex in the brain. We don't have access to love, compassion, reason, hope, courage, faith. We don't have access to a better choice, especially when we're in shame and guilt in those lower ones. When we move up a little bit more on the towards anger, anger actually helps us to have some energy to move towards a better choice. If we stay in anger, though, then we don't have access. So what belief or patterning allowed me is that it's a 7-step system, and I'll briefly just tell you what those are. The first one is forgiveness. It's not about forgiving somebody else. It's actually about forgiving yourself for believing you need to stay in that state of shame or that you deserve shame. I'm just going to stick with shame because that's, I think, one of the biggest debilitating ones. And then the next step in belief or patterning is permission. And permission allows us to move into the possibility of something else. So it could be a statement like, I give myself permission to transform that shame and move towards peace or calm. And then the next step in belief or patterning is choice. So it could be as simple as, I can choose to beat myself up and hang out in that shame. I don't like it. It's going to keep me stuck. Or I can choose to ask for help so that I can be calm. I can't do both. The next step is freedom. And freedom is when you practice it. And you pick a moment, something you're going to do anyway. You don't try to pick the highest mountain to climb. You don't pick the toughest thing. You pick something easy. For example, I could say to myself, I am free to feel calm today when I walk outside and breathe in nature. And the next step in belief or patterning is about remembering a moment when you actually did experience calm or peace. So you're going to, that allows the brain to access a file folder and connect the new file folder of this moment to that old file folder. So it's going to strengthen that neural pathway in your brain. So could be as simple as, I remember what calm and peaceful feels like. I felt it this morning when I went for my swim in the lake. So you would pick a moment where you did know what calm and peaceful feels like. And then the next step in belief or patterning would be about owning it. So it could be, I am becoming peaceful. And gratitude is another step in the system. And gratitude is one that we can sprinkle anywhere. We know this from all the, you know, The Secret and all the things that are out there on positivity. When we can be grateful, it will always help us to move to something better, something away from that shame and away from that mental breakdown and moving towards breakthrough. So it could be, I'm grateful for that shame and that breakdown because it's allowed me to be a more compassionate coach, a more compassionate leader.
And that you are. So kudos to you. Yeah, I'd like to just put a brief shout out, Vireo, because you've explained that so well. But the shout out goes to Suze Casey, who developed this system in Southern Alberta and has been helping thousands and thousands of people for years using this process. And we both know it works. It helps flip that switch to get to that upside, at least, and just get to that place where you're actually operating from a more resilient part of your brain. Well, moving on, you mentioned nature, Viriel, and I know really your Finnish roots and the way your upbringing was surrounded by like extremely pristine and beautiful nature has really been something that's brought you back to your soul time and time again. And you say nature has the power to reset our brain. So can you go a little bit more into that, the power of nature in your experience to help just come out of a place of depression and anxiety and back to yourself?
First of all, I would want to say in gratitude to my father in particular, who has been a living example of the power of nature for healing, the power of nature to reset our brain. And Sue's case, he really helped me to understand this as well with belief or patterning and explaining how the brain works. When we are in nature, and we are from nature, we are natural, we are born of nature, what happens is we have endorphins that are released into our body. So we've got natural pain relievers, dopamine is released into the body. And those are flooding our bloodstream and going into our master glands in our brain that literally help our brain to switch off of that adrenaline, switch off of the stressors, and naturally come home to our natural state of being. And most people right now, unfortunately, have so much adrenaline pumping through their bodies, which is extremely taxing on our vital organs, doesn't allow us to live in a state of vitality and mental and emotional and physical well-being. So literally going into nature, walking in nature, sitting on the earth will also lower your alkalinity. And when we have a body that is lower alkaline, lower pH, disease cannot actually live in an alkaline body. When we have adrenaline pumping through our body and toxins in our body and emotions like anger, fear, grief that are there too long are toxic to the body, then they're like poisoning our body. So when we can literally even just go sit outside on the earth, that is going to allow your body to access more endorphins and access natural pain relieving. It's going to help your body and your brain to actually reset. And that was one of the big things that made a difference for me living in my cabin in the bush by the lake here, was being able to go outside every day and be in nature.
Yeah, you're very blessed that way. And if anyone, you know, connects with Vireo on her Facebook page and other social media, you'll see just exactly what she's talking about in terms of connecting to the land and to the nature within you. And I know you also really are a deep believer in the Finnish sauna and cold hydrotherapy, Vireo. So I find you very brave in some of your practices. Can you just kind of tell us a little bit more about how that's also helped you to reset your body and your brain?
Absolutely. There's a book called The Finnish Way, and they actually talk about how the Finnish, we call it sauna, the Finnish sauna and the cold hydrotherapy is extremely supportive in mental health. And I've definitely noticed it for myself and for us as a family, it's traditional, like weekly, at least we are in our Finnish sauna. And for me, that also means cold hydrotherapy, either rolling in the snow, jumping in the lake, which I'm blessed to have just outside of my door. So it's very similar to nature in the sense that when we go into the cold, and of course, Wim Hof also is one of the ones I've deepened with my understanding of that as well, with his teachings. it also helps to release you literally when you go into the cold. If you are in the cold for like 30 seconds, that's all it takes. And if you can't start with 30, start with 10. That is actually does a reset on the brain as well. You have an instant release of endorphins. You have an instant release of dopamine. So what's beautiful about that, that they talk about in the Finnish Way, in the book, The Finnish Way, is that they've had people who have been suffering from addiction. That literally all they started doing was Finnish sauna, and they went and did daily cold hydrotherapy. And I was actually doing this during my recovery and healing as well. Is that we crave to be high, right? That's why people go and access food and drugs and alcohol. We want to feel that euphoria. We want to feel ecstasy and bliss. It's actually our natural state of being. That's actually how we're supposed to be living. But when we're in cities and we're stressed and we're not outside and we're in buildings too long and in front of computers, we're disconnected from that. And then people tend to reach for, you know, overeat, go shopping too much, spend too much money, alcohol, drugs. So when you go in the water in the extreme cold, you get an instant rush of dopamine. You get an instant rush of a natural high. You may not feel it right away. You'll probably feel it more after when you come out of the water. You'll feel this tinglingness all over your body. You'll feel it clears the mind. I found if there was anything that I was fearful or worried about or stressed about, it's not possible to think about anything else when you're trying to immerse yourself in cold water. It takes everything to just count my way in and to go into the water. So it's a super powerful technique. So even if you're not blessed like me to live near a lake or the ocean or a river, go in your ice cold shower. After you have your hot shower, start with 10 seconds. And I guarantee you, if you did that regularly, it is going to release endorphins in your body. It's going to release oxytocin, natural high, natural pain relievers. So you can be high on life like me.
That's awesome. It puts you directly into your body. And that's a lot of what you've really learned over the years, is to take yourself from being that completely escaping your body to being embodied. And that's not just through the hydrotherapy, but also through dance and now really through a lot of tantra and being in the body and experiencing pleasure and sensuality. Can you like really go into how those practices have really helped you to continuously come back to feeling safe in your body?
Yeah. So in 2017, the same year that I was introduced to belief or patterning with Suze Casey, shortly before that, I went to study in Thailand and I studied Taoist Tantra, which I'd already been studying a lot of sacred sexuality before that. In our Western culture, there's so much that we are not taught about our bodies, and in particular for women, our female anatomy. When I went to study in Thailand, I really actually felt like I was in kindergarten and I had so much to learn. And what I learned allowed me to get out of my head again and get more into my body. I learned a lot of sacred Taoist tantric practices, breath work, using a yoni jade egg, healing sounds. Sound is super powerful at helping us with healing. And I used them, all of these practices, to dissolve and activate and move the trauma that is stored in our cellular memory. We have so much that actually is stored inside our bodies. So our yoni is Sanskrit for our female genitals. It means cave of passage, sacred sacred wonder. I can't remember what else. All these wonderful things. And it's when you're using like yoni jade egg and other Taoist tantric practices that I learned, it's a way to get inside the body and allow the body to naturally heal and dissolve the trauma. My one teacher said that issues are in the tissues. So even though I'd already done, you know, literally decades of healing up until then, I had never actually gone inside my body and loosened up, shall we say, the trauma that was stored in the cellular memory of my body. Kundalini dance definitely helped with that. That didn't get inside my body though. The tantric practices that I teach in my Sacred Pleasure Liberation program allow women to actually get inside the body. And this is a solo practice. So I teach women how to know their own bodies. And that's what I'm super passionate about, because I mean, I didn't learn these practices till I was in my 50s, and it's vital. Like the health of our sexuality is nourishment for our heart, our spleen, our lungs, our pancreas, our stomach, our kidneys. And we're not told that. We're not told how important our sexual health is to our overall health. And then that, of course, and our master glands. So our mental health in the brain, right? When our master glands can be nourished from pleasure.
Sexuality is something that often is considered a taboo, or we just don't understand how profound of an experience it can be. And I know that that really has been something that's helped you to connect more to spirit. Can you share a little bit more about how those types of practices have helped you connect to your spirit?
In Taoist Tantra, it's all about the alignment of body, mind, soul, spirit, connection to whatever you want to call that great mystery, divinity, God, goddess, consciousness. It's about the union with the feminine and the masculine. It's beyond physical sex. It's, for me, that moment when I decided that I was going to be sovereign. I didn't know how. And studying Taoist Tantra allowed me to, with the breath practices and with the Yoni Jade practices, to access my own feminine and masculine sacred union within myself, so that I could have my own connection to source. And I think that's what's really missing from sexuality in our Western culture. And when that piece is missing, what happens is sex just becomes another low vibration addiction. And we end up looking outside of ourselves to fill ourselves up. When we can access this sacred union, source through and in and as us, through using sacred sexuality, we have the ability and the power, firstly, to access life source energy beyond anything we've even imagined, be the creators and the creatrixes of our lives. I have felt more confident and invincible and powerful in my life since I've accessed my own sacred union, my own sacred sexuality, more creative. Then in relationship, now we can come to relationship from this place of two whole people coming together rather than codependency. Another big piece is that in the Western world, historically, for thousands of years, religions and the powers that be knew that sex was actually a pathway to the divine. Sex was powerful. If we had our own sacred union, when we have our own sacred union with the divine, we don't need someone else. We don't need a church. We don't need someone else to show us that. We can find our own. David Data in his book, Finding God Through Sex, we can find our own pathway through sex, through our own sacred union, not even just with another. We find it first with ourselves. And I believe that we can't actually really access it with another consciously until we can, or access it again and again, until we can access it with ourselves. I had had an elusive moment with a partner, but I didn't know how to bring it back for myself. When we can access it ourselves, then we become truly empowered and we have our own connection to source, to everything, to abundance, to prosperity. I mean, the corporations and the media know this, right? That's why they use sex to manipulate people to buy things. They're using it, of course, on a lower vibration. When we're actually using it for our own healing and sacred union, we have access to the absolute infinite in all areas of our lives.
And so when you look at like the ecstatic, the things that bring you to those heightened states, you really transcend a lot of the aspects of suffering in our human condition and really find your way back home to yourself. Is that really what you're sharing in your different programs, Vireo?
Absolutely. And I would also add that pleasure and pain are actually two sides of the same coin. Grief and joy, love and hate, they're all connected to each other. A big part of what I support women in accessing and teach them through these practices is how to feel everything. Feel it to free it. And when we can actually use, and I think that's one of the, I know that that's one of the things that helped me, is I was able to dive so deeply into that grief and that sorrow that I was feeling, that was actually the doorway to my own connection with my own divinity. When I collapsed and surrendered into that and I stopped fighting it, I stopped resisting that. Now, if it's deep trauma, you want to make sure somebody else is holding space for you for that. Okay. This is work that is meant to be done with support, with a coach. So I don't recommend you go do it by yourself, because most of us, myself included, I had decades of trauma that was stored in my body. So when the suffering is happening, if we can feel it to free it, like really feel it fully and be held with a coach, somebody working with us, and then that combined with belief or patterning that Suze Casey helped me to learn as a practitioner and continues to be my coach and walk me through, then we can feel it to free it and then move to something better. What often happens for people is they actually don't feel it completely. There's a denial, there's a disconnect, that disassociation from our body, and it becomes this, they're in the mental realm. I really know that we need to use the wisdom of the body, the power of the mind, and our soul. We need to have all three of those in alignment. When we can bring those into alignment, and that's really what I support my clients in doing, when we can bring all three of those pieces into alignment, then we have access to true living and true joy. Suffering doesn't stop. It's just that in the past, when I was suffering and when I was in shame and anguish and despair and depression and anxiety and panic, I used to have regular panic attacks. I used to spiral in those for hours, days, weeks, months, and some stuff, years, that it was just always sort of there and it just needed a button pushed on it and it was activated again. What my practices, and in particular combining them all with belief or patterning that Suze Casey is the founder of, combining that with belief or patterning allows you to feel it to free it and then to use the seven steps so that you don't have to live there. You can feel it, free it, and move towards something better. So in that case, now when stuff comes up, because life still happens, right? And life has definitely been happening for all of us, crisis and things with all that's going on the planet for the last few months. what has happened for me now is instead of spiraling and spinning in despair, anxiety, or panic, when it comes up, it's literally seconds, minutes, on the rare occasion, half hour, hour, and I'll go and ask Suze or one of my own support coaches to help me. So I'm not living there anymore. I'm still acknowledging it and feeling it, but I don't have to get sucked down into that spiral, which is what used to happen for me in the past, as I used to spiral down into it and couldn't get out by myself.
And I just want to kind of come to the end of our podcast and just say that from my experience of you, Vireo, you really have fundamentally transformed into a sovereign woman who is ecstatic and who lives not only from those places of just pure joy and embodiment, but also allows those other experiences that we experience as humans to flow through and not stick. And I just want to encourage our listeners out there, if you resonate with what Vireo has shared about the power of nature and the power of breath and the power of sexuality and dance and embodiment, to seek her services, because she is a very powerful teacher through example and through a very long journey. And I just want to give you a big hug on this podcast and just to really celebrate that you're helping so many people through all those years of trying to find your way through. So thank you so much, Vireo, for just being that shining light in so many women's lives and helping them rise up from, those places of complete collapse to a place of living again, fully. Thank you so much.
My absolute, absolute pleasure.
So if you'd like to learn more about Vireo Karvonen and all her practices, not only can you read the chapter in From Shadows to Light, but also connect with her personally. So thank you very much, and be well.
Olivia Catchman is here to help serve those who are ready to rise up and feel the freedom of living their fullest potential, a life beyond their wounds. Olivia creates a safe, sacred place and intuitively guides people to let go of their limitations and suffering so they can reclaim their power and rebirth themselves anew. Her offerings include individual and group healing ceremonies, transformational energy work, spiritual dance, and embodiment practices. If you would like to know more, please visit www.phoenixalchemy.net. That's www.phoenixalchemy.net.